Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Intersection, a podcast that takes a real look at how race and relationships intersect. Join us as we look at how we can set our eyes on the life of Christ as a source of compassion for each of our relationships. Our hosts include Pastor Jeff Bogue, Senior Pastor at Grace Church of Greater Akron, Bishop Joey Johnson, Senior Pastor at the House of the Lord, and Pastor Coach Kemp Boyd, Pastor and Executive Director for Love Akron. Keep listening as we cross paths on today's episode of The Intersection.
So welcome, everybody, to another episode of The Intersection Podcast, where here we want to see how Jesus wants to intentionally intersect with us as we go throughout our lives, intersecting with one another. And as always, I'm joined at the intersection of relationship, friendship, mentorship, brotherhood, all the above, with my two Proverbs 17:17 brothers, Bishop Joey Johnson of the House of the Lord, and also Pastor Jeff Bogue, Bishop, Pastor, Doctor, Apostle Jeff Bogue.
Good, all good.
Hey, brothers. Yeah, he gets all that. He gets all, and Big Jeff. I'm sorry, I left out the most important, Big Jeff.
So, which is my that's what my children call me, Big Jeff. So.
Well, thank you, as always, for being here with us at The Intersection. And today, we want to talk about, because we just came out, I don't know if you've been under a rock this whole time, but we just got out of election season. And so, as a result of that, what we have noticed is that there is some heartbreak, there is some celebration, but also there, at the end of the day, there are people that are hurting on either side, whichever way you voted. And we're not here to push a way that anybody should vote, but we do want to address, as the body of Christ, what's this look like for us. So today we're going to talk about a litmus test. And is the election a litmus test for some of us as believers? But before we dive in, we do want to define what that is and what that means for us as believers. So with the trusty help of our renowned sage, Bishop Johnson, he sent something to us, and I just want to read it to our audience to give us a little bit of foundation and background for this episode. A litmus test is a test to find out if a substance is an acid or alkaline. In life, a litmus test is someone's decision or opinion about something that suggests what they think about a wider range of things. In Christianity, a litmus test is something one believes that tells us whether that person is a Christian or not. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to throw out this fillet of a title and of a topic, and I'm going to allow y'all to get after it.
Well, since I'll send it out, I'll start. But let me reiterate what you said. What we are doing today is not intended to talk about who we should vote for, or who's right to vote for, nor to excoriate or put anybody down, whoever they did vote for. This is not about a political party who voted for who or whatever, because I believe that no political party will ever represent the interests of Christians. So even though we will vote, and that is our God-given right, there's not a particular right or wrong way to vote. But what we do want to talk about is the impact of the election, not who voted for who didn't vote for who, but the fact that the election is now over, and the votes have been counted and tallied. We have a result, and what is the impact of that result? And is that who you voted for, does that become a litmus test? And I put down on that sheet a number of litmus tests, whether you believe in abortion, other things that we believe in Christianity, that people will say, this tells me whether you're a Christian or not.
Yeah, and I think what an election does, because this is what happens in an election. You get two political parties, and when we walk into a voting booth, what we get is we get the opportunity to check a box. So there's two boxes, and neither one of those boxes are filled with loving Jesus and following him sacrificially as your Savior and Lord. So exactly what Bishop just said. So a Christ follower has to know that. Each box has things in it that you like and appreciate. Each box has things in it that you don't like and you don't appreciate. And because of our system, which is the only system we have and way better than other systems throughout the world, right? So, but it is our system. I have to check a box and I have to pick one of those two things. And something I said here at Grace Church, I said, we check a box, we don't put ourselves in one. So my identity is not Republican, Democrat, or whatever offspring of that that you tie into. My identity is Christ and Christ alone, and I am a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. I'm a resident of the United States of America. And what that does is that anchors my hope. It anchors my identity. It anchors where I would think of where how I would make decisions, the questions I would ask, the things I would value, all those kind of things. So I walk into a voting booth and I check a box because I can only check one. So I'm going to check the best one that I can figure out how to check. Those are sometimes kind of difficult decisions, honestly. But I don't put myself in the box. I belong to a third way, and that's the way of Christ. So I think what an election does for us personally, and even nationally, is it exposes where our hope is put. And I'm going to check a box. I'm going to walk out being a passionate follower of Jesus, not a proud Republican, not a proud Democrat, a proud follower of Jesus. If my team loses and I lose all hope and I lose all vision for the future and I lose all sense of security, then I put myself in that box. If my team wins, if my team wins and I think that I won all the moral arguments and I won all the cultural arguments and I won people over, I'm like, you put yourself in a box. You didn't check a box. And as a Christ follower, I stand apart because I stand in Christ. I participate in an earthly system, and it's the only system we got where we live. I participate in it, but I stand apart as a person, and that defines how I see the people on the other side, how I see the issues, all those kind of things.
Pastor Jeff, I think you did a great job there of talking about it, and yet it ought to be obvious to us in our country that that is not where we stand for most people. I have
Yes.
people who are depressed, people who are frustrated, people who are discouraged, people who are fearful, and all other kinds of responses, but those particularly in communities of color. Where we're dealing with people, and I'm trying to answer the question and recenter your hope. And I think that's because we do have political identities, that our identity as a Democrat or a Republican is more important than our identity as a Christian. And we place more hope in that than we do in Christ or the Bible or any of those kinds of things. And I'm not saying that flippantly or to put anybody down. I'm pointing out what I think is the case, not what I think about those people who are struggling to deal with that, because it is a struggle. But when the struggle is over, where do we land?
Yeah, in the body of Christ, I would say we have a unique election this time because the other team, the Democrats, won last election, and the Republicans were deeply disappointed. And 4 years later, it doesn't often do that. Usually, you have a president really for 8 years is more the norm, and so it flipped, and now the Republicans won, kind of to the surprise of the Democrats, and the Democrats are deeply affected. And I look at the body of Christ, and I say, so look how we relate to each other. Like if you're on the other side of a political aisle, but in the body of Christ. there's an you actually understand each other. The Democrats feel the way that the Republicans felt 4 years ago. But when you enter into a relationship, this is we're not competing with each other relationally. We're not competing with each other in the body of Christ. We are another thing. So our love for each other, even though we are not on the same page politically, is what sets us apart as a people. Because our culture right now, if your team loses or wins, you hate the other team. There's all kinds of podcasts and stuff out right now about how to deal with family members who didn't vote the way that you voted. And a lot of the counsel that's come out from like professional psychologists is you should skip Thanksgiving. Don't be around. I'm like, no, not if you're in the body of Christ. It's our love for one another that sets us apart. It's not our political unity that sets us apart. And so we have an opportunity to display that and an opportunity to be unified. And I think there's the weekend before the election, I did a series called 2 Weeks on Politics. I'm like, I'm going to talk about this for 2 weeks and that's it. And so I did the weekend before the election, the weekend after the election. And the week before the election, at the end of the message, we just talked about Jesus and what he came here to do. And he said, "My kingdom is not like your thinking. If it was, I would have had my followers rise up." You know, he's talking to Pilate. At the end of the service, I looked at the church. And I don't do this very often, but I looked at the church and I looked at them and I said, "There will," I said it just like this, "there will not be division in this church." Period. And the congregation applauded. And I was like, they got it. Like I said, because our congregation is very, very purple. There's red and blue, it's very purple. And I said, a bunch of you are going to be upset next week, like one way or another. Like, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. It's the nature of what we're doing. But we are other than that. We are the body of Christ. And it was thrilling to see a group of believers get that. And next week we talked about, okay, now half of you won, half of you lost. Like literally, that's the way that the country played out and kind of our church played out. And like, so let's go back to our identity. We're actually ambassadors of Christ. The people who are devastated by the loss, so if you're on the left, if you're a Democrat, you lost this time. The people who are devastated by the loss, the best people to bring them hope and peace with all that are Democrats who are defined by Christ, because you understand like these fears, and you understand how they could look and say, "But Jesus would never." You totally understand it. The people who are best to reach the Republicans are Republicans who are defined by Christ, because you understand how they would be tempted to think we want a moral issue, or we put a question to bed. And so it's to me, it's that missional part. Christ-centered Republicans are not the best people to reach non-Christ-centered Democrats. But like we go to the people that we understand. Because we're a different people. We're the people of God, defined differently, and we have political opinions and passions, which is fine. And then we have a political system, and it's the one we got, but not defined by that. I just think it's huge to all of it. And I think the litmus test piece is if my politics are defining my view of God instead of my view of God defining my politics. And when we cross over that, we've exposed something about ourselves with it.
Yeah, let's go to the litmus test part and talk about these litmus tests that become so provocative, so powerful, so painful in the church. And I'll start with the number one, and that would probably be abortion. And there are people who believe, Christians, or at least they name the name of Christ and say, if you don't believe, if you're not against abortion, you are not saved. And I happen to be against abortion, but I would not put somebody down. That would not be the test of their Christianity for me. Yeah, there's a lot of that goes on in our society, in our world, and in the church. I agree wholeheartedly with Pastor Jeff. We are to be the people of God, but it seems that we are the political people of God. We're just that kind of people of God and that kind. And so when that's aimed at you, when you have to deal with that, it becomes very painful. And if you are a person that doesn't have, if you're a more minority, you don't have a lot of esteem, self-esteem, it can be quite painful.
I want to go, Bishop. Now you said something, and going back to this litmus test, have we gotten to the point where, we're just hardlining things? Like it's a hard line. Like there's no, it's black or white. There's no gray, right? There's no shades of gray anywhere. Because I think when, you ask that question about, abortion. And if you're not against it, then you're not a Christian. That seemed like a very hard line to me, right? That's a hard line topic, a hard line issue, as well as some of the other issues, right, that we can dive or go into. It could be the legalization of marijuana, right? Whatever it may be. But it just seems like we get tossed and Pastor Jeff, you kind of talked about it with your boxes, right? And I heard about my buddy, man, who I get to co-pastor with, Brian Kunkler, say it like this: the boxes that we have is our preference, what's important, and then what's essential. And we begin to place things in the essential box that don't need to be there. And then when you place other things in the essential box, then what or who are you pushing out, which becomes Jesus. So if I place my political affiliation and that becomes, and again, it's what I prefer, may be important, but if it becomes essential, then I'm obviously pushing something out of that box.
Well, I think that's the problem of what we're discussing when we attribute as true to true as something as if it is true, a loyalty that does not belong there. But I think that's why we're discussing it, because I see it all the time. First, you see it in the political, in the whole political realm, in the way that the candidates are now interacting with each other. It is simply, there is no discussion. There's really no debate. It's just right and wrong and attacking each other. And I think Christians pick up on that and become a part and adopt those identities so that we attribute to things that are not necessary, things that are not true, a truth like perspective, demeanor, or aura. And then that's how we get in trouble. So I think what we're trying to get back to is the biblical perspective of what's the litmus test. The litmus test ought to be the Bible. And I would say, I've been having some discussions with pastors about this. I would think the litmus test is biblical love. Not just the Bible, whether I've had a discussion lately about does truth mediate love or does love mediate truth? Now Pastor Kemp, that's something you better write down. That's another whole topic. But that's what we're talking about at the bottom, because when we start talking about truth, we start talking about hard lines. This is the truth. Okay. So now, if you don't adhere to this truth, now we're starting to talk about how we respond to that, whether we're going to respond in love or whether we're going to respond in legalism, how we respond to the truth. And so a lot of folks believe this is the truth. The truth is more important. Truth has got to win out. Truth. Go ahead, Big Jeff.
Well, I was just thinking about this, that the I think what happens with like using a abortion as an example is I think that we We don't let things be complex. And so we want a simple answer. We want a simple sound bite. We literally want a, that's what politics is. It's a platform, it's a position that it pits one group against the other in a competition. So when you play football, football is very, yeah, I know. I did it for you. Football is very simple. Understand the offense, understand
Wait
the
a minute, wait a
defense.
minute now. Whoa, whoa, whoa,
Well,
whoa,
I'm
whoa.
just saying, like, you don't have to be
I'm
that
pushing back. Now listen. I'm a little offended.
I've
Football is
never
very
met him.
simple.
Go
Why
ahead,
can't you
Big Steph.
get
Don't
this
worry
kid?
about
It's
him. Go
very
ahead, Big
simple.
Steph. Keep
Yeah,
going,
it's
man.
very
Keep
well, it's
going.
football.
You see what I'm saying? Like there's an offense and defense. You try to defeat each other, and at the end of the game, there's a score. And so it's easy. It's easy to understand and define the winner. Relationships and moral issues do not work that way. So, like when what I was sitting here pondering as Bishop was talking was, like when you say abortion as an example, I am also a staunchly pro-life person at every aspect of life. So in the womb, all the way to the deathbed, which is it's a bigger conversation, but but when you say abortion, the first thing I think is I thought, well, what do you mean? And people would be like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, what are you talking about? Because most people who are pro-life are talking about a child in the womb. Most people who are pro-choice are talking about who has authority over my body. Those are different conversations, but we won't let it be complex. So the people who won't take the COVID vaccine have more of a pro-choice mindset because they'd be like, "Who's the government telling me to take a vaccine?" Right? So I'm like, "You don't even recognize that you guys are talking about the same thing." And so, like, I'm like, first of all, what are we talking about? And then if we said, "Well, let's narrow it," because I also don't want the government to have authority over my body. I don't want the government to tell me what doctor to go to. I don't want the government to tell me what to eat. I don't I agree with most of that thinking, right? So if we narrow that and then go, well, we're talking about the baby, and you have to be anti-abortion. I'm like, well, I still don't know what you mean. Do you mean anti-birth control, like using abortion as birth control? Or are you talking about a mother who already has three children, who's pregnant, who the pregnancy is going to take her life and the life of the unborn child? That's a completely different conversation. So we won't let that be complex. And what you're saying, Joey, is like that hits the internet. People will be like, "Well, bogus liberal now." And I'm like, well, no, I just was asking a question. I don't know what we're talking about. What do you mean by that? If you said immigration, what's that immigration you on? I would say, I don't know what you mean by immigration. And we boiled it down to like build that wall or let everybody in. And I'm like, that's not even the conversation. Like, what do you do with people who are trying to be killed by drug cartels? And what do you do with terrorists who are sneaking into the country and drug lords who are shipping in fentanyl? I'm like, it is a very complex situation. And when you make it simple, and this is what I did a podcast yesterday, and the question that they asked was, they asked, why don't churches have a culture of confession? And I said, one of my big answers was, I said, because we won't deal with messes. We want everything clean. But when you look at Jesus's life, he was surrounded by people who were disasters. I mean, former prostitutes, former demon-possessed people, tax collectors. It's just a mess, right? Most of the Bible heroes in the back and in the Bible wouldn't pass a background check for our church.
Yeah.
But we want it to be clean
Yeah.
and simple. And that's where the litmus test idea comes in. Well, it's like, well, you're this or this. I'm like, or neither. And I don't know. I'm curious what you think about this, Bishop. Like, I don't know why we're so afraid of that. Why we can't sit and talk about it, and why we can't agree to disagree, or even
Man.
sometimes say there's really no real answer.
Yeah.
Like, you have to follow the spirit with it.
Think the reason, that's a great question. I think that's what we're hitting on. The reason we can't just sit and talk about it and make it more simple is because of the rigidity of the way that we approach
Amen.
truth. When we start talking about the Bible, if we're going to talk about what's truth and what's right and what, then it starts to become very, very easy to talk about. You either agree with me or you're wrong. Very simple. But as you look at the Bible, it's not simple at all. The Bible is a very complex book. Now, you won't hear people say that because they want to say talk about the perspicuity of the Bible and all that. It's easy to understand. Anybody can read it. No, anybody can read it and get enough of it perhaps to be saved. But Paul said, study to show yourself approved, a workperson under God that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing, handling accurately the word of truth. The Bible is a complex book. It's not a simple book. It is a revelation of God revealing himself to us, humankind. So I don't think any of this is simple. I think it's very complex. But we are living in a country and we deal with people who want to make it simple. Just give me a simple answer. And sometimes, Pastor Jeff, I say this, we have a complex God who created a complex humanity. He gave us a complex Bible, and people keep asking, so just give me the simple answer. It's not simple. It's complex, and we need to make room for other people's complexity. And we don't seem to be able to do that because we're not operating by love. We're operating by rules. So the question I keep asking is, we want to know, I get this all the time, Pastor Jeff, I'm sure you do too. Is it right? Is it right? Is this right? Is that right? Is that right? And I said, maybe the question ought to be, is it loving? And I get the strangest responses.
If I could just interject, because y'all both are talking about this, and Pastor Jeff, you talked about at the beginning, Bishop, you're going into it now, and I just want to read it. We talk about what is the biblical litmus test for Christianity. The biblical litmus test of Christianity is a personal relationship with Jesus, the Christ, through a belief in Jesus as the unique Son of God. And we know this based on John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, the biblical litmus test of discipleship is going back to what was just said here, is loving one another. That is found in John 13:35, that says, by this all men, all people, right? And when we say men, it's not just men, males, but it's all men that are created in his image, right? All of us, men, women, everything. By this, men will know that you are my disciples if you do what? If you love one another, which goes back to your point, Pastor Jeff, when you stood in front of your congregation and says, hey, we won't have division here. We won't have division. Everybody's excited. Why? Because, man, we're going to center and ground ourselves in these two things.
We are other than we do not fit into the world. We are strangers. We are aliens. We are citizens of another kingdom. Our mind is renewed. The culture around us is spiritually dead. We've been reborn. It's in spiritual darkness and blindness. We live in the light. It's in spiritual prison. We've been ransomed and set free. We're a different thing. And that is not to lead to understand to arrogance. That's to lead to insight. That I see the world and understand the world around me differently. And when it comes to following God, I don't even do that on my own. That's what the Holy Spirit helps me to do. It helps me to understand God's word and power God's word and know how to translate it into unique individual situations in a godly way. All of that is put aside because we have made following Jesus a set of rules and truths that you learn, you master, and you can parrot. And we've taken away the power of the Holy Spirit, and we've taken away the mess of people's life. Why did Jesus walk through a crowd of crippled people, heal one, tell him not to tell anybody, and then walk back through the crowd? Why didn't he heal anybody? Because he's complex, because he had something else going on. Why didn't Jesus why would he rebuke one sinner and put his arms around a different one? And we've tried to break that down into rules and methods and metrics instead of allowing it to be relationships. When the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then all the law and all the prophets hang on that commandment. And so it's the filter through which we see every other truth and every other directive. That's a relationship. I call it a relational theology. It's a relational view of God. So is it loving? Well, where do you get, why aren't, instead of searching the Bible and asking, what should we do? We should search the Bible and ask, how can we love? Because sometimes loving is accepting you and your sin and in your brokenness, and sometimes loving is rebuking you and giving you consequences to break you out of the things that are destroying you. I was asked a question yesterday, what's it mean to forgive as Christ forgave? Because somebody was beating somebody up with that. You're not forgiving the way that Christ told us to forgive, because we're supposed to forgive as we've been forgiven. And I looked at the person I'm talking to. I said, God didn't forgive everybody. Well, she was shocked. I said, that if you believe in hell, then you have to know that God doesn't forgive everybody. He
That's so
forgives.
complex. That's
Yeah, it's
super
complex.
complex.
God forgives those who repent.
Yes.
And ask for his forgiveness. He's faithful and just. God is willing to forgive, but forgiving as you've been forgiven is not you forgiving everybody for everything that they've ever done to you. Well, so that th it's those things that like you have to like. It's almost impossible to write the manual on. It can't be written down in one book. We have to share our lives. We have to do the one another's. We have to shepherd people, and then walk them through the heart and the mind of God to show them how Jesus would respond in their circumstance. So, are you anti-abortion? I'm like, are we talking about the mother who's going to leave her children motherless? Are we talking about that? That's a very different conversation than I slept around. I don't feel like having a baby, so I'm going to get an abortion. And if we can't or won't dive into those questions, because that a loving, godly wife and mother and lover of Jesus is the one that could be in that hospital bed, and you're standing there as her pastor. So you anti-abortion? And I'm like, and then if you looked at me right now and say, well, Jeff, tell us the answer. I'd be like, I don't know if I know the answer right now. I think we'd have to pray. I think the spirit would have to lead. I think I'd have to understand her mind and maybe her husband's and her child. I'm like, man, I don't even know what I would do in a circumstance like that, because it's complex.
Now, Jeff, let's go back to our three M's, because I think that they will apply over and over and over again. But what you are talking about very eloquently, I call countercultural. The kingdom is countercultural, and
Amen.
so it does not match up with what's going on and what's happening in politics, what's happening at work, or whatever, because it's countercultural. I would almost say that it's 100% countercultural, but since I have a problem with superlatives, and I don't know that anything you can say is 100%, but it would be like Ivory soap, 99 and 44, 100%.
There you go.
And so, but if you apply the three M's, you come out with those, it begins to help us. When you start talking about politics or truth or rigidity or any of those things, they can't be measured. If you can measure them, and then you probably are not moving and talking about the intangibles. You're talking about something that's tangible that you can get your hands on. It cannot be manufactured. There's no easy way to manufacture the answers to these questions, which is what.
Oh, Bishop. I said he had people working at his house.
But it can be modeled.
Yes.
I know, we know the last
That's
M.
right. It can be modeled in. And I think, Pastor Jeff, like that's, man, that's really
There
our
he
call,
is.
right? Is to model these
Last
types of
again.
things, right? It's to model the challenge and the complexity that is interwoven in all this stuff. Because what you just said, when we were talking about, hey, man, we're others, we're from the, like, that is, those are complex scriptures.
Yeah.
Hey, man, we are in the world, not of the world. And you're like, what? Like, what is all that? Like, those are complex things. Everything there was just complex. And so right now, Bishop Johnson is modeling what Jesus said, hey, if you destroy my body, I'll raise it back up.
Yeah,
That's right. And come
the
back.
return.
Come back
In
from the
3 days.
dead.
And he's
Come
back.
back. It's the
Come back.
second coming of
Well,
Joey
Pastor, I
Johnson.
did get enough. Pastor Jeff did hit the last one, and it's got to be modeled. So if you take those three and let's apply it, it will, if you cannot simplify Christianity or down to rules. And that's what we end up doing, just coming down to the rule. This is right, that's right. This is wrong, that's wrong. It's a lot more complicated than that because relationships are a lot more complicated than that.
You see, and what I would say to our listeners, you don't want it boiled down to rules, because you what you want is a relationship. And so think of if you boiled your friendships down to rules, you got to call me on Tuesday, you got to call me on Thursday, we'll have lunch on this week, I'll talk to you once a month. It's not a relationship. That's barely a business interaction. A relationship is, I haven't seen you for a while, but if you're in trouble, you call. And then all of the, see, it, because that's the way our lives work. A relationship is, I love you whether you are producing for me or not. And when you, because we fail at rules no matter what, everybody wants to be loved for being them. Everybody wants to know that they have a friend or two that's a 911. You know, everybody wants to know that there aren't conditions on that. And so you want God to be that way. He's not that way in like a fluffy, make God whatever you want him to be because he's a person. But can you imagine if our relationship with Jesus was contingent upon keeping the rules?
Would not be good.
Because we wouldn't get off
Nah,
this
would not be good.
podcast.
Pastor Jeff, we end come to the end because Pastor Kim's gonna cut us off in a minute.
Yeah. He's got that look in his eye.
Here's another problem that I think we should work on. Kemp, you better probably write this down. Relationships require some level of vulnerability. And most people are not open to being vulnerable at a certain level because of shame, judgment, what they've experienced. And so the church, once again, can be very judgmental. Okay, that goes back to, it lines up with the right and wrong.
Yeah.
But we must learn to have vulnerability and to be able to accept people who show themselves to be vulnerable. And one writer said, I've been reading, vulnerability is the cradle of love, relationship, all of those kinds of things. If you have to expose yourself and come as you really are and be seen as you really are to enter into authentic relationship with anyone. That's what God did with us with the Bible. He revealed himself to us. That's what we our Pastor Jeff is talking about, we ought to be able to do with one another rather than setting out boundaries of rules. We ought to come authentically ourselves.
Well, brothers, as always, y'all don't disappoint. There was only one thing that I gotta feel like I gotta lay in forgiveness to. You know, football is a very complex sport. It's more than just hitting people and running and catching and like
Brother Jeff, you're in
there's
trouble, brother.
boy, that hit a nerve, man. That
You're
hit
in trouble. You're in
a
trouble, Brother Jeff.
nerve. But if we watch the Browns, we can see
Very
how
simple.
complex it is,
Oh.
right? So, but no, I thank you both as always. This is you giving us so much to, I think, meditate on and to continue to chew on as we go throughout this. But man, for our audience, let's continue to think about that in your daily life. What are these litmus tests that maybe you may be putting on someone, but is God inviting us out of that litmus test mindset, which are these rules? And we're kind of getting out of what's right versus what's love, and really focusing on what love is and what that looks like. So that's something that we want to, offer for our audience. And maybe God has been kind of poking you in a little bit of this direction. If so, man, lean into it and know that you can get in contact with us here at the Intersection Podcast by just simply writing to the Intersection Podcast at loveakron.org. That's the intersection at loveakron.org. And you can follow us, like us, and all of this. All of the, what do you call it? All the podcast platforms. That's what this is. It's a podcast.
That's the
So,
football. Football is so
yeah, let's
complex.
see what
Oh my
happens.
gosh. Stop. Look, look, look. See, this is what happens. I fumble at the goal line and they scoop it up and they score. But hey, we're so glad you were able to be with us on this episode of The Intersection. And know that we want to see you next time right here and meet you at the intersection. Well, you know what? Who's always waiting on you? Jesus. That is the Christ. We love you today. God bless you. And man, we'll see you next time at the intersection.
Thanks again for listening to today's episode of The Intersection, where we look at how everything intersects and brings us all back to Jesus. You can subscribe and follow us on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and YouTube. You can reach out to us with questions or comments at intersection@loveakron.com. That's intersection@loveakron.com. And we'll see you next time at The Intersection.